The following program has been brought to you by Rolling Press, a family-run, eco-friendly printing company. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
A moment with the token in a post-gentrified Brooklyn. A token is a singular representation of a minority that has been deliberately placed in a forefront of a show or hired in a work environment for the sake of appearing to be culturally diverse. The token often ends up serving as a representative for that minority. And I could go on about this, but we'll save that for later. My name is Kathleen Sherry. And this show is my platform to discuss issues facing minority groups in the world concerning food and all that food contains, health and wellness. On today's episode, we explore the dilemma slash paradox of trying to live a healthy lifestyle in an environment where everything is marketed towards toxic foods. A little dramatic, but true. We have on the line with us Supreme Understanding. Hello?
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great.
Great, thanks for joining us. You're the author of The Hood Health Handbook, a practical guide to health and wellness in the urban community, also founder of Supreme Design Publishing. Yes?
Yes, I'm one of the editors. Co-editor CBSA Life Allah was one of the editors, and we've got about 50 contributors to that book. So I don't want to take the sole credit. I don't want to take credit away from anybody else.
Okay, but when you started, could you tell me a little bit how you came to start Supreme Design Publishing? Was it the book that came first, or was it the concept of building this publishing brand?
I never intended to start a publishing company at all. It all kind of snowballed into what we have now, and it's a beautiful thing. But it began with the idea of just helping youth in the community. I've done nonprofit work for quite a while, was working with youth in the community, and decided I wanted to put all these life lessons that I was passing down into the form of a book. That book became How to Hustle and Win, which was the first book that we put out. And the book did so well, it was so well received, and just went, you know, spread so far and wide that it led to people asking us for other books. And eventually people began asking us for books on the topic of health. And that led to the creation of the Hood Health Handbook.
Yeah, so the book is kind of like an encyclopedia. Going through it chapter by chapter, there's everything from 11 things not to get from the dollar store, how to eat like Fred Flintstone, Native American food then, Native American food now, feces in your fountain drink. I mean, it really covers every aspect of health and wellness. I don't know if you could break down a few chapters or if you have a clip that you like to read that really kind of encompasses what it's about.
You know what? I think what you've said is actually a great analysis of what the book is. It's meant to be like an encyclopedia. It's meant to be like a reference book that covers, I mean, because we've got so many issues. I mean, when you look at the urban community, you've got, I mean, you name it. You've got environmental toxins. You've got poor choices in terms of what there is available to eat in the community. You've got fried foods. You've got processed foods. You've got our health issues that go beyond food. You've got mental health issues that we never discuss. And
right.
So what we wanted to do is we just wanted to cover everything, yet keep things conversational, keep things engaging, keep things interesting, keep things, you know, as humorous as we could, just to make sure that people would actually read the book. Because, you know, if we're talking about all this stuff and we make it preachy, we make it boring, then we miss our audience.
Right. Could you give an example of from the book?
Absolutely. And I'm just going off the top of the head here because I've wrote about 30 to 40 of the articles in the book. One of my favorite sections was actually something that's making the rounds in the media today, and it's called beaver butt juice. And Beaver Butt Juice is an article that talks about how there's ingredients in candies that we many of us are eating right now that are actually processed using the anal glands of a beaver.
Really?
And that's where, that's where the actual ingredient comes from. In fact, a lot of things that have been making the rounds through online media lately were brought into public attention most recently by the book, like the pink slime issue, where you'll find pink slime in a lot of meat that is found in our community. The fact that you'll find ammonia in a lot of the beef that we find in our community. The fact that a lot of burgers and other meat products are held together with glue. Those are the kinds of things that we want people to know about. We want people to know that, as you mentioned, there's feces in your fountain drink. A large percentage of the soda that you get from a fast food place, it has feces in it.
Right. What I wanted to get into is really your background before you started writing this book. You said you worked for nonprofits. How did you really start writing this book? Like, who was your first contributor?
I think the first person that we sought out was Dick Gregory. And we sought out Dick Gregory before we had anybody else on board, and we told him the concept of the book, and we told him what we wanted to do. And Dick Gregory's a great guy. He's a pioneer in this field of dealing with health in the Black and Brown community. And when we told him what we were trying to do, he was on board, but he said he needed to see the content.
Yeah.
And so we just went to work producing the content. We got Scott Whitaker, Dr. Scott Whitaker, who digs into the issue of cancer. We've got Supernova Slam, who is also like a hip hop health activist. And I'm trying to go through all the names that we got. We've got Dr. Vernelia Randall, who is gone heavily into law and healthcare and how people of color are routinely discriminated against within healthcare, the list goes on. I can't even think of everybody at the top of the head. Dr. Nancy Williams talks about toxicity and cleansing and parasites and things like that. A lot of things that people just don't even think about on a daily basis.
Right.
Before long, we had about 50 contributors, all from different fields. We've got people talking about everything from posture to depression.
Yeah. Kind of wanted to go back to, it's really like in the urban community, there's so much going on that's really against the health of youth. What was the push that really made you go forward with this project?
We're dying.
We're dying.
We're dying. We're dying. And there's really no lightweight way to put it. There's really no way to dance around it. We're anywhere from 2 to 6 times likely. And when I say we're talking about Black and Brown people of color, especially those living in poor communities, are anywhere from 2 to 6 times more likely to be affected by just about any health-related condition you can think of. There was a time when you would never associate Black people and skin cancer. But now that's becoming more and more prevalent. You got more and more Black people with skin cancer than you've ever had before. We're dying in so many ways. Untreated mental illness, we're dying. We've got more people committing undiagnosed suicide than ever before. Some of this is suicide that we know, and we know it's suicide, but then you've got a lot of other people that are doing something called suicide by proxy, which is where we put ourselves in situations where we know we're going to get killed, and we get ourselves killed.
Yeah, so more on the mental health, because I think that's something that's really not covered in urban communities. Who do you have speaking on that in the book? Because I know there are 2 volumes of the Hood Health Handbook. Can you think off the top of your head of contributors?
Off the top of my head, I know that we have a brother named Robert Williams, who is like a mental health and drug abuse counselor, who speaks on his own recovery from drugs and how dealing with fostering positive mental health was key to that process of recovery. We've got a few other people that come from a holistic background that address, you know, alternative approaches to mental health, because sometimes the Western approach is not, it doesn't really work for us as well as we'd like it to. And so we oftentimes need alternative approaches. I mean, within, you know, within our community, there's all sorts of mechanisms to deal with mental health. Some people go to the church, some people go to their friends and family, and some people really just don't have anybody or anything to go to. And this book is kind of like a resource for helping people figure out what they can do about their issues. I mean, we all know we have issues. We know when we're out of shape. We know when we need to lose weight. We know when we're just in a negative place, and we know when we're in a toxic situation, and we know that we need to do something about it. Most of us know this much. The book was really just there. It's there as a reference guide to show people what they can do.
Right. So who were you before you started this, before you started a nonprofit? Were you always, like, eating healthy? How did you come to this kind of consciousness for this movement?
I'm always, you know, I am who I've always been, and that's a work in progress.
Okay.
And that's the way we position things in the book that way. You know, we don't tell people, hey, you've got to become a vegan tomorrow. You know, you make your transitions. You take things one step at a time, and we make it easy. We make it affordable, and we show people. That's why we have something like 11 things not to buy from the dollar store, because we don't make the assumption that you don't shop at the dollar store. People shop at the dollar store. And there's things that you can pick up from the dollar store that aren't a problem. If you want to get some washcloths from the dollar store, go for it. But you just don't want to buy your lunch meat from the dollar store. It's just not a good idea. You know, you don't know what you're getting. It's been sitting on somebody else's shelf, and then the dollar store got it after them. Things like that are just ways to say we're all on a journey. We just try to reach out to people that other publishers and other sources of information are not reaching out to. We go for people who the rest of the world believes don't read books. And what we've learned is that they do read books, and at the very least, they read our books.
Right. Going back to the book, I was looking through it, and there's a section on things that you shouldn't eat from the corner store, things to avoid, and how we're marketed to we think that all the things that we can afford from corner stores and things like that are these things that are really bad for us, but you flip it around and kind of start giving some list of things that we can afford that are at corner stores and that are somewhat better for us. I don't know if you could list a few things.
Yeah, I mean, and again, this is all on a scale. You know, of course, you know, sure, you're better off making your own trail mix and minimizing the amount of sugary stuff that's in your trail mix. But if you need a quick snack and you're on a road trip, you know, grab some trail mix. You know, sunflower seeds are actually, they're healthy. There's a ton of things, like, you know, but really what we're trying to teach people in the book is that it's about first making the decision to make, you know, you have to make the decision.
Right.
You've got to decide that, you know, you could get the 99-cent juice, which is not really juice, but it's just drink. Or you can spend $1.99, which is pretty much the going rate for an actual bottle of juice, and get real juice. You know, and for a lot of people, we're so accustomed to just getting drink that we don't think that we should spend more for the juice. But in the end, what we're doing throughout the book is convincing people that it is worth it. There are benefits. There are risks to not making these choices, and that you know, you'll be happy that you did it. Most of our readers, you know, especially readers of this book, you know, they write to us, they email us, they look us up on Facebook, and they tell us that this book may have been what saved their life.
Yeah. So, what are the next steps in this movement?
What we're doing right now is we're
something called... Sorry to cut you off. We're actually going to take a quick break and come back. So after the break, stay tuned, and we'll hear about the next movement in the Supreme Understanding Design Publishing Firm. Thanks. Thank you.
You're listening to Born Day by Taxstar on the heritageradionetwork.org.
Today's program was brought to you by Rolling Press. Rolling Press is a family-run digital and offset print house that brings together eco-friendly methods, ethical practices, and personalized service. Using environmentally responsible papers, non-toxic inks, and wind power, Rolling Press represents the harmony of traditional craftsmanship and mindful sustainability. Rolling Press offers advice on reducing paper waste and energy consumption, helping you save money and minimize your carbon footprint. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
And we're back. Thank you. We're here with Supreme Understanding, author of the Hood Health Handbook, and co-founder of Supreme Design Publishing. Before the break, we were talking about the book, and now we want to really talk about where the company and the mission is going.
So what we've done since 2008 is we've published books that have been well-received throughout the community. Books that cover just about everything from personal development to relationships to, to self-knowledge and metaphysics and history. And we're going a little bit further, because the reason why we've done these books is because people have asked for it. People have asked for us to cover these topics, and now people have been asking for us to actually go further than books and start delivering programs and models for community change. And that has led to the birth of something that is now known as the 360 Movement. We launched a nonprofit called 360 Solutions, which was it's really about delivering the solutions we talk about in our books in a way that goes right into local communities where we have people, programs, and a curriculum that comes along with it, so that we can actually begin creating change. Many of our people are already doing this on their own. People read our books, want to start a nonprofit, want to start a study group, want to start something else. And what we're doing is now creating a kind of structure to allow that to happen a little bit easier.
Yeah. Wanted to ask you a couple of questions about, like, what's going on with the new food bill that's been passed that excludes food stamps and benefits. What do you think about that?
I haven't even heard about it. So can you tell me about it?
Well, the new food bill that's been passed, there's been a big back and forth about how much money should be put aside for food stamps and SNAP benefits, and so they just decided not to include it in the proposal at all, and so now there's not really even a budget for it at this moment. So that's really just going to affect especially the urban community, since that's where the book is, you know, really targeted for. I just thought maybe you could speak to us on that.
The reality is that it's you know, ensuring the health of people in the poor community has never been a concern of the government. You know, it's only been like through just circumstance that, you know, people have been able to do things like use food stamps at places like Whole Foods and possibly get, you know, decent food. For the most part, it's by the, I don't want to get too deep, but it's by design that we're sick.
Please get too deep.
And I mean, you know, we're sick by design. Like, we're not sick by accident. We're sick by design. So it's like anything that happens, I'm not surprised by anything. I mean, there's, you know, whether there's legislation being passed to allow Monsanto to have more rights to put genetically modified food in places where it shouldn't be. You know, there's something that you're going to find in urban communities or poor communities more than you find it anywhere else. You know, there's other countries are banning genetically modified foods, and you know, you look anywhere in an urban community, most of our food is genetically modified. You know, most of our food is processed. Most of our food is full of toxins, full of chemicals, and it's full of garbage that we shouldn't be eating. We have foods that are carcinogenic. We have foods that limit our reproductive abilities. We have foods that affect our mental abilities. Not just food, but water. I mean, there should be legislation that affects how much lead can be in our water. But our, you know, especially in urban communities, there's lead. I mean, you can go to any public school, go test the water, you'll find lead. And what lead does is it affects your ability to think. Yet we basically don't have champions in these causes. We have people that speak out and hopefully, you know, we'll have more consensus that will allow us to actually fight for some of these causes. But I mean, right now, like, I could probably name off the top of my head about 100 different things that are designed to leave us fat, sick, and nearly dead, as the documentary goes.
There's a documentary by that name? I'm not familiar
with
it.
Yeah, fat, sick, and nearly dead. And there's actually a few, you know, Food Incorporated, Fat, okay. Sick, and Nearly Dead, Unnatural Causes. I mean, there's plenty of data. That's not the issue anymore. Like we know the same things that people in the UK know. But what people in the UK do is they say, well, we don't want these additives in our food. We don't want this we don't want rice that's half human. You know, like, there's genetically modified rice that's made with human genes. So when you eat some rice, you're eating human genes too. There's tomatoes that are part fish. You know, like, there's other countries where people say, you know what, now that we know this, we don't want it. We have the same data here in the U.S., but we don't currently, and that's why there's this thing called the 360 movement, because the goal is to build up a group of people who can actually fight against these kinds, you know, because these are abuses. I mean, because there's a body count that results from this stuff.
So how is the 360 movement really moving forward? How does anyone get involved? How do I get involved with that?
You can visit weneedamovement.com. I haven't even been talking about this very much because I want to begin with making sure everybody understands who we are, what we do, and how we do it, just so that there are no misunderstandings.
Okay.
And so visiting weneedamovement.com will give people, you know, people can get on our list. They can start receiving our literature. They can start learning about the way that our programs work. And then they can see how they want to get involved. We are planting our roots in Atlanta, but we're already branching out into a few other cities. We're holding meetings regularly in a few cities right now. And by the end of the year, we should be having meetings in most major urban cities. And those meetings will be educational. They're open to the public. The goal is to get people educated and, again, to build consensus so that we can actually begin doing something about the problems. Because, you know, I'm done with rhetoric. I don't want to get on a soapbox and talk real loud. I'm not into that.
Right. I think there's been a lot of talk. One of the reasons I had you on the show is because it's action oriented. The book, it's how to do, you know, how to get better. Right. Thank you so much for joining us. We're coming to an end right now. I just wanted to ask if there's some words of knowledge, some words of wisdom, some last parting words of action that you'd like to leave with us. Could you share something with us as we sign off?
Yeah, it's real simple. It's that none of us can change the world by ourselves. And so sometimes we feel hopeless and powerless because we'd like to, but you just know that you can't do it by yourself. But time and time again, the world has changed, and all it took was a small number of people getting together, being committed, being dedicated, being knowledgeable, and being willing to go against the grain and challenge the status quo. It doesn't take millions. It doesn't take millions of dollars or millions of people. It just takes enough. And we can change this world. I'm fully convinced.
Wow. Thank you, Supreme Understanding, for taking the time out to share this with us. My name is Kathleen Sherry with Heritage Radio Network. And thank you for sharing this moment with the token in a post-gentrified Brooklyn. Good night.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.